Barnhart, Berger, Beyer, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Gerard, Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, excused, Butler, Dallum, Flores, Minnis, Morgan, Crummel, Olson, excuse for business, Nolan.
The colors will be posted by the Salem Fire Department Honor Guard, guests of Representative Vicki Berger. Shortly after we complete the flag salute, there will be music from the bagpipes presented by the Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue Pipes and Drums of Tualatin, led by Tim Burr and guests of Representative Larry Galizio. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
What a
courtesies. Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I would like you all to join me in welcoming our honorary pages for the day from Child Peace Montessori School. And in particular, I understand some of my colleagues will be introducing two of the pages, but I want to introduce Morgan Cho. Morgan, could you stand up? Thank you. Morgan is the son of Sean Cho. He's in the sixth grade and is interested in playing soccer and football. He loves music and working on computers and hopes to grow up to work for Nike or be a punter as a professional football player. Welcome to the Capitol, Morgan.
Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good idea to be a punter. It's a safe position. I wanted, colleagues, please join me in thanking and welcoming the Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue Pipes and Drums that we just heard, and thanking them for their really inspiring performance. I just want to tell you a little bit about the band. They've established themselves as the first fire service pipe band in the Pacific Northwest, and they have as their mission to provide an element of tradition at fire service funerals and ceremonial functions. TVFNR Pipes and Drums have quite a resume. They've twice been invited by the governor to perform at the state capitol here in Salem. 2002, they traveled to Boise, Idaho to perform at the 100th anniversary of that city's fire department. And they've even traveled internationally, as several members of the band traveled to Guadalajara, Mexico at the invitation of the Portland-Guadalajara Sister City Association to perform in a series of events there in the fall of 2005. In 2005, they performed at 93 different events. They attend weekly practice and perfect their skills on their own time. They perform without compensation And the average band member has donated over 144 hours to the band. Colleagues, join me again in thanking them for their wonderful performance.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my honor to commend to you and extend courtesies to the Salem Firefighters Honor Guard. I don't have a resume for these folks. I do have their names. It was Corey Corcoran, Paul Bridgehouse, Trevor Elmer, and Brad Paris. And I can guarantee that they, too, volunteer their time and do a wonderful job. But most important to me, that these are the men that come to my door if I have an emergency. And for me, that's the most important thing. And I'm really glad to have them down here at the Capitol and hope you'll extend good thoughts and courtesies to them.
Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please extend courtesies to Ruben Sola. Would you stand up, Ruben, please? Ruben is a student at the Child Peace Montessori School. He is in sixth grade there. His parents are Ann and Robin Sola, and he plays basketball, loves basketball. He loves it so much that he would like to play in the NBA. Good luck, Ruben. Thank you for coming today.
Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, would you please help me welcome Henry Whips? Henry, please stand up. Henry is the son of Mary and Jimmy Whips, also a sixth grader at Child Peace Montessori. Henry enjoys playing basketball and juggling, and his career goal is to be a professional juggler, which I think we could all learn some tricks from that. Welcome, Henry, and thanks for being with us today.
Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I am a firefighter, and I'm proud to say that today is Oregon Fire Service Day at the Capitol. I hope that you enjoyed the opening ceremonies, and the fire people have gone over to the Senate now to play, and I have to say I can't listen to Amazing Grace from Timber's pipes without crying, because mostly the times I hear him play that is when one of the people have fallen. Today, though, there's a number of fire departments and state agencies will have the fire and service apparatus parked in front of the Capitol and around the mall, and you should step out and check it out. The State Office of Fire Marshal will highlight a new safety trailer designed to teach fire safety and will demonstrate the effectiveness of home fire sprinklers. Live fire sprinkler demonstrations are scheduled today at 12:15 and 12:45, and the Portland Fire and Rescue and the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, DPSST, will also have apparatus on display. And then finally, in the Galleria, a number of state fire associations and training organizations will have displays inside the Capitol Galleria that include the Oregon Fire Marshals Association, the Oregon Fire District Directors Association, the Oregon Volunteer Firefighters Association, the Oregon Fire Service Museum, and the Oregon Fire Medical Administrators Association. So enjoy your fire service day here at the Capitol.
Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, want to just recognize and extend courtesies to all the firefighters here in the building today. And I just hope we all pay close attention to what these men and women do for us every day. They're out there on the line. They go in and breathe all kinds of toxic fumes that have a negative impact on their health and the futures of their families. And I just want to recognize that. I want to thank them for taking those risks. And I ask all of you to recognize and thank them for that and the service they provide this great state. Thank you.
Further courtesies? Messages from the governor?
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the governor from that he's signed and approved the following bills, House Bill 2073 and House Bill 2580.
Before we continue on, I just want to pause for a moment and recognize Lenny Baskey, who is on the center door. He is one of our pages that has been with us now two sessions, Today is his birthday. Happy birthday. This is also his last day with us, as he'll be undertaking a new job, so I don't know if that really is a birthday present to you or not. We've certainly enjoyed having you with us, and we'll miss you, and if you have a moment to say goodbye to Lenny before he takes off. Thank you for your service to the Oregon House. Greatly appreciate it. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President from the Senate has passed House Bill 2334, 2744, 3067, 3089, 3494. Passed the following House resolution as amended by the Senate. H.J.R. 11. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President informed me that he has signed House Bill 2071, 2072. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President informed me that he has signed Senate Bill 118, 172, 413, and SCR 4.
First reading, memorials and resolutions. Standing committee reports. Committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Special orders of business. House will stand at ease for a moment. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 1041 related to health services and declared an emergency.
Question now arrives on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1041. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 1041 repeals Section 9 of House Bill 3108 from the 2005 legislative session. This section of 3108 allowed the Department of Human Services to implement several reductions to the Oregon Health Plan benefit package, including eliminating over-the-counter medications for below-the-line treatments, limiting reimbursement to hospitals to a maximum of 18 days a year for an Oregon Health Plan client, eliminating vision services, and reducing dental coverage. Section 9 required DHS to seek approval for these reductions from the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services. And although CMS approved these reductions last September, legislative leadership advised DHS not to implement them. Because these reductions were assumed in the 2005-07 DHS budget but not made, the DHS budget is estimated to be about $1,988,251 of general fund short. The latest 2005-07 budget rebalance plan for DHS funded the Senate Bill 5547 and contains a general fund appropriation to cover this shortfall. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends Senate Bill 1041 be approved.
Further discussion, Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand in favor of this bill.
I'd like to clarify
a couple of points. Medical providers, if this bill were not to go through, would have to reprogram their billing computers and their software for 2 months of benefits, because as of July 1st, these benefits will be reinstituted for the 07-09 budget. And so the DHS rebalance bill has already come through the House and the Senate. It refunded the amount that was going to be cut for these last 2 months, and so the money's already there. It's part of the 05-07 budget, the current budget, and if we were to vote this down and those cuts were to go through, they would be only cut away for the next 2 months, and then as of July 1st, they would go back in, so there would be citizens who would lose their benefits for a month or two and then get them back. It's a process that isn't worth hassling with. And it would be a burden to the medical providers if we were going to require this 2 months' worth of cuts. And therefore, I'm in favor of this bill, which essentially just says, forget the cuts, let the benefits continue because they're in the next budget.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Boone, do you wish to close?
Just briefly, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to thank the representative from Southern Oregon for his comments to help clarify why this is being done, and I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no, and the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Thatcher, how do you vote? She votes aye. Representative Greg Smith votes aye. Representative Burley votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? He votes aye. Senate Bill 1041, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 384, relating to school administrators and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 384A. Representative Kump.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, this morning, as we had testimony, can't hear Amazing Grace without coming to tears. And the other part of that is it reaffirms that we're all servants and here to serve each other. And with Senate Bill 384, it is an imperative message to send that we want our constituents, everybody, to start trusting us as legislators. This bill would not have any money go to administrators to do a golden parachute. And a golden parachute is the fact that administrators, and this is people, the term administrators defined in this statute, that get paid off to leave their jobs. And we've had several of these examples happen in the past 5 years. I want to share what the definition of administrator is. This does not talk about school principals or assistant principals. This talks about superintendents, business managers, the director of special education, anybody that works at the district office, including the facilities manager. And so these people have their own individual contracts and have been allowed to take golden parachutes. Administrators are taking cushy retirement deals without taxpayers having a say. This process needs to be worked on. It is my honor to bring this from the work of the Senate. It passed the Senate 27-0 is Senator Vicky Walker's bill. And just to remind you of some of the issues that have happened since in the last couple of years, that over $267,000 was paid off to an administrator, and it also had insurance coverage for 3 years. Another superintendent got a deal for a purchase of a luxury car valued for $26,000, and he had to pay a mere $8,000 for it. These are parts of the things that why people vote no on school levies, school bonds, and school issues. We as a legislator have an obligation. As 2 years ago, we sat here and talked about 5.2 education budget. This year, we're talking about a 6.245. We absolutely have a responsibility to make sure that the money goes to the classroom, we are building trust with our constituents, and that there's the transparency so that administrators don't get paid for work they haven't done. And that's where I think we are all servants, to make sure that we can serve one another. With this, colleagues, I ask your support, and just know that as a school administrator, it's very hard to sometimes witness administrators that come and go and get paid huge bonuses for work not for services not rendered. Thank you, and I support your. I request your aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative David Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I rise in support of to the bill. I rise in support of Senate Bill 384A. Just a moment ago, you heard stories from the good representative of District 22 about outrageous compensation packages for school administrators. These so-called golden parachute packages can include luxury cars and hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayer dollars paid for work that is never performed. To my mind, when it comes to school administrators, gold should apply only to standards of conduct, not to compensation packages. The use of golden parachutes has people seeing red, and rightly so. This type of abuse undermines the public's trust in government at every level and makes it more difficult to win support for local school levies. My district in Washington County is experiencing unprecedented population growth, so much so that we struggle to build new schools fast enough to keep pace with residential development, much less provide the quality teachers and programs our children deserve. For instance, my two boys attend an elementary school that reached maximum capacity even before it opened. Our collective ability to foster and maintain public support for our community schools depends woefully on proving to Oregonians their tax dollars are spent wisely. This measure is critical to renewing the public's trust in our local school districts and in the state legislature, to better ensure public dollars are used only for public benefit, and to improve the prospect of building a world-class education system. I urge you to vote aye on Senate Bill 384A.
Further discussion, Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you. I appreciate the carrier, representative from District 22, comments, and I will be supporting this bill. I just wanted to make the comment, particularly in light of the last speaker's comments. My friend, who I'll never forget, can't find it on here, from Hillsboro, and I just look forward to continuing this discussion because I think that it's true. We need to look at responsible, fair compensation at, in his words, every level, and restore public trust. So as the session goes on and we get around to the larger K through 12, I think these issues are important at every level and certainly at the administrative level. Thank you.
Representative Chris Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, the previous speakers have been awfully polite in talking about this issue, and I don't have to tell you that our schools and our kids' education have suffered tremendously in the past few decades, from programming cuts to crowded classrooms, crumbling buildings. We've got a whole lot of work to do if we want to repair our education system and build a world-class one for our kids and our economic future of this great state. For years, school districts across the state have struggled for increased funding under declining circumstances. Parents have pleaded with our legislature for more money. School boards have pleaded with our voters for more money. And then what does the public see? Some fat cat administrator driving away from a struggling school district in a luxury car with a pocket full of cash. And it confirms for them their worst suspicions, that there really is enough money to go around and that they are just being taxed and taxed to fund bureaucrats' high lifestyle. Look, this kind of abuse is inappropriate under any circumstance. But when our public schools and our children's education have suffered cut after cut, year after year, it's downright disgusting. And the truth is that it bleeds more and more money out of our education system. This bill makes sure that the money, the taxpayers' money, gets into the classroom where it belongs. This is just plain old common sense. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Senate Bill 384A is a bill that I can support, but I think we really need to look at where the problem is. It's unfortunate that we have to sit in this body and pass this bill, because who are the people that are providing these golden parachutes but elected officials at the school board level? And I sat on a school board, and I've had colleagues in this body that have sat on school boards. And as an elected official, I took that responsibility seriously about what kind of packages we provided to the officials that were under our purview. And so I think it's extremely unfortunate that we have to address this issue in this body when we have local officials, local elected officials that address this issue each and every day, and I would urge them to take heed and not allow this kind of abuse. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Richardson.
Mr. Speaker, to the bill.
To the bill.
This bill is a very vivid bill. It covers a spectrum of political aspects. We're talking about golden parachutes the legislator from Hillsborough says that his constituents are seeing red over this golden parachutes, and I think it would be a black day for our legislature to fail to pass this bill. Let's not be blue. Let's pass it. Let's make the other legislatures green with envy as we stop these golden parachutes.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Comp, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That's a hard act to follow. And so what I would just give you a couple of facts. Over a two-year period, Portland Public Schools paid off nearly $1 million to two administrators. We all know what's been happening in Portland Public Schools. They've had to close school. They have cut staff. And this has impacted the instructional achievement of the children in that district. It is very true. I don't care what color we are, and I won't talk about green and gold and orange and black. But this is a common sense bill. It puts money into the classroom. As a classroom teacher, nobody can say it stronger that every time we reduce class size, we will have higher achievement. So with that, I encourage your aye vote, and this is a great bill. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no, and the clerk will open the voting system. All members have voted. Senate Bill 384A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Propositions and motions. Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2202 and repass the bill.
Representative Holvey moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2202 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Senate made one very small change, and a good change at that, just adding an option of a $5 limit to other payment instruments in addition to the 10% of the face value, whichever is greater. That is the effect of their amendment. It's a good amendment, and I encourage an aye vote to repass the bill. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
He does not. Those opinion that the House should concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2202B and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no, and the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Kotek, how do you vote? Representative Kotek votes aye. The motion to concur in the Senate amendments and repass has the required constitutional majority, and so House Bill 2202 is declared repassed. Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Speaker, I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2220 and repass the bill.
Representative Riley moves the House concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 2220A and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you. There's one piece of this bill that talks about the length of time that pawnbrokers have to reissue a lost ticket, and the Senate made a small change, which changed it from between 3 and 5 days to not more than 5 days. It's a good bill. It should pass.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Riley, do you wish to close? He does not. Those opinion that the House should concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2020 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Rosenbaum votes aye. House Bill 2028, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Confer, what purpose do you rise?
Permission to return to courtesies, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Confer requests a return to courtesies. Is there an objection? Seeing none, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my honor to introduce a group of middle school students here from Jervis, Oregon. There's 40 of them up in the back gallery. They're fifth graders, and they are sitting so well and being so good, and their teacher is Kristen Hazleton. Welcome to the Capitol. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you with us today. Further courtesies. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2247, repass the bill.
Representative Schaffler moves that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2247 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Senate adopted amendments which resolve conflicts with HB 2756A, expands the definition of attending physician in workers' compensation claims to include chiropractic physicians, podiatric physicians, naturopathic physicians, and physician assistants, and allows those providers to authorize compensable care for 60 days from initial visit for a total of 18 visits. And HB 224A removes the sunsets for the changes in permanent partial disability payments in workers' compensation claims.
Further discussion, Representative Maurer.
Mr. Speaker, need to declare a conflict.
Please state your potential conflict for the record.
My wife is a nurse practitioner and included in this bill.
It's duly noted. Is there any further discussion? Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wish to bring up a potential conflict.
Please go ahead and state it for the record.
My wife is also a nurse practitioner.
It's duly noted. Representative Galizio.
Declare a potential conflict.
Please go ahead.
My wife's a nurse practitioner as well.
Duly noted. Any further discussion? Representative Schaffler, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2247 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Cannon votes aye. House Bill 2247B, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative McPherson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2359 and repass the bill.
Representative McPherson moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2359A and repass the bill. To your motion.
Colleagues, 2359 came through this chamber on the consent calendar some weeks ago. It was a clarification of a provision that is already in Oregon statutes that allows the amounts in a bank account up to $25,000 to be paid out to the surviving spouse without having to go through a probate process. And the purpose of that provision of our statutes is to provide the surviving spouse with amounts to cover burial expenses and the kinds of unexpected obligations that arise after someone has passed.
on. And when this bill got over to the Senate side, it was amended to remove a 45-day time limit that applies under this bill, as we passed it, to the payment out of such an account. And that was at the request of the banking industry, because having to measure that length of time and concern of themselves with whether they were acting within the 45-day period or not was more troublesome than just leaving it open-ended. So the Senate amendments apply no time limit to the period within which a spouse can make that claim on a bank account for an amount that's no more than $25,000. I think it's a good amendment, and I urge your vote aye on this motion.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative McPherson, do you wish to close? Those opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2359 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. All have voted. House Bill 2359, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendment to House Bill 2867 and repass the bill.
Representative Greenlick moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2867B and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We passed House Bill 2867 with a 58-0 vote, and the Senate helped us deal with a little embarrassment that I had. I forgot to schedule within our time a bill that was a very straightforward bill that we would also have passed 58-0, and it's a bill that allows counselors to apply fluoride to the mouths of kids who are in WIC programs, Head Start, and the Oregon pre-kindergarten program. It's a very simple process. They take a Q-tip, apply the fluoride. Everybody was in favor of it. As I say, they saved our bacon by putting that amendment into this bill, and I urge us to pass it again, 58-0.
Further discussion, Representative Girard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I need to declare a potential conflict.
Please go ahead and state it for the record.
I drill, fill, and bill. I'm a registered dentist.
It is duly noted. Is there further discussion? Representative Schaffler.
Well, my wife drills, fills for a living, too, and if we fluoridate the water, she'll be doing a lot less than that. So I declare a conflict of interest.
It is noted for the record. Anyone else? Representative Greenlick, do you wish to close?
Well, I hope no one mentioned water, but I do not wish to close. Thank you.
Those of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2867 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no, and the clerk will open the voting system.
Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Representative Patty Smith, how do you vote? Smith votes aye.
Okay, then we come down here. House Bill 2867.
House Bill 2867, having received that constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Schaffler.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2943 and repass the bill.
Representative Schaffler moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2943 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you. House Bill 2973B allows the Department of Consumer and Business Services to follow the standards of the Independent Medical Examination Association, but does not require it. The amendment was adopted to prevent any potential future problems, such as the issue which necessitated House Bill 2943 to be drafted. DCBS originally used the American Board of Independent Medical Examiners Code of Conduct as the default code of conduct for an authorized independent medical examination provider, but the code is copyrighted and cannot be used in future agreements unless the independent medical examiners who wish to be authorized paid board association dues. Good bill. I urge your vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none. Representative Shoffler, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
He does not. Those of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2943 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Burley votes aye.
Representative Lim votes aye.
Representative Lim votes aye.
Representative Jensen,
aye.
Representative Holvey.
Representative Holvey votes aye. Representative Gelzer. Representative Gelzer votes aye. Representative Barnhart. Barnhart votes aye. All have voted. House Bill 2943, having received that constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Tomei.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2993 and repass the bill.
Representative Tomei moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2993 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this is a very simple change that the Senate gave us. It actually says citizens with disabilities instead of disabled citizens. So I ask that we repass this bill.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Tomei, do you wish to close?
No, I do not, Mr.
She does not wish to close. So those of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2993 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. Representative Cameron? Cannon votes aye. Representative Shoffler? votes aye. Representative Galizio votes aye. Representative Cameron, for what purpose do you rise?
Just to clarify the name on my vote, Mr. Speaker, I believe you referred to me as another representative.
At least I referred to him as well. Representative Cameron votes aye. Representative David Edwards votes aye. Representative Nathanson votes aye. Representative Cannon votes aye. Representative Chris Edwards. Representative Edwards. Please, Representative Chris Edwards, a voice response. Representative Chris Edwards votes aye. Representative Greenlick. Representative Jensen votes aye. And Representative Nelson. Representative Nelson, how do you vote? Representative Nelson votes aye. Representative Wisnett? Wisnett votes aye. Representative Lim? Representative Lim votes aye. Representative Burley?
House will come to order.
Representative Burley. How do you vote? Representative Burley votes aye. Representative Girard. That's Girard. Representative Girard votes aye. Representative Esquivel. Representative Esquivel votes aye. Representative Thatcher votes aye. Representative Buonamici votes aye. Representative Maurer. Representative Maurer votes aye. Representative Cowan votes aye. And Representative Hanna votes aye. All have voted. Finally, House Bill 2993, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed.
Okay, now we're here. Let's say first reading of House bills.
First reading of House bills. Second reading of House bills. Consent calendar. The clerk will read the bill and a short summary.
Senate Bill 149 related to State Department of Geology and Mineral Industries modifies statutes relating to mine reclamation.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2202. Correction. Senate Bill 149. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system.
Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. Representative Jensen votes aye. Representative Rosenbaum votes aye. Senate Bill 149, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill and summary.
Senate Bill 206 relating to regulation of naturopathic medicine requires applicant for licensure by Board of Naturopathic Examination by evidence of having successfully passed basic science and core clinical science examinations.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 206. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Shields votes aye. Representative Nathanson, how do you vote? Nathanson votes aye. Representative Jensen votes aye. Representative Nelson. Oh, I've already got hers. Has already voted. Senate Bill 206, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill and summary.
Senate Bill 560 relating to Crater Lake National Park registration plates requires Department of Transportation transfer surcharge to Oregon Community Foundation.
Okay, I think so.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 568. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system.
Speaker votes aye.
Representative Boquist, how do you vote? Representative Boquist? Representative Boquist is off the floor. Representative Thatcher, how do you vote? Thatcher votes no. Senate Bill 568, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill and summary.
Senate Bill 613 relating to assignments of mortgages requires a written instrument assigning mortgages or trustee and presented to county clerk for recording show name and address of signee.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 613. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Bonamici, how do you vote? Bonamici votes aye.
Representative Boquist. Representative Boquist is off the floor. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Everyone has voted. Senate Bill 613, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill in short summary.
Senate Bill 894, relating to the Universal Service Fund, allows Public Utility Commission to adopt rules to conform Universal Service Fund to federal law and related rules to the extent the Commission determines is appropriate.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 894. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Boquist, how do you vote? Representative Boquist is off the floor. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Representative Kotek, how do you vote? Representative Kotek is off the floor. Senate Bill 894, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed.
Can I just say third reading of House bills?
Third reading of House bills. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3044, relating to suppression of funding, prescribing an effective date, and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a three-fifths majority.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3044. Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 3044A comes to you from the Revenue Committee by way of Ag and Natural Resources. This bill simply increases the funds that are being deposited in the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund. The Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund was established in 1969. It is essentially an insurance policy for landowners in each of the fire protection districts. 39% of Oregon's lands are privately held. Family landowners alone are responsible for the care and stewardship of about 4.4 million acres all across Oregon. In exchange for severity funding and this insurance policy, landowners have agreed to cover the cost of meeting the increased insurance deductible for managing and combating forest fires. Initially, landowners had agreed to cover the first $10 million in costs, but recently those costs have increased to $15 million in initial costs per year. However, the fees that are assessed to make this happen have not increased since the early 1990s. In that time, the cost of fighting fires have increased for a variety of reasons. These include the inflationary pressures on firefighting costs that are driven by fire crew and engine cost increases, as well as the spiraling costs of firefighting aircraft, which drive costs up even faster than inflation. Federal firefighting policies and lack of forest management and corresponding fuel treatment have placed state-protected forest land at higher risk. And there are an ever-increasing number of rural residences that are complicating firefighting strategy and tactics. The Oregon Department of Forestry has taken several proactive measures to minimize these costs before coming to us for a fee increase. First, they've been working with the U.S. Forest Service to mitigate the cost of wildfires that burn from undermanaged lands onto state-protected land. They've also been striving to increase the initial attack capability of local, state, and association-protected districts. And they have been validating and communicating the importance of an adequately funded severity program to supplement those initial attack efforts. And they have been continuing the aggressive, but it's important to note, not punitive, cost collection efforts on fires whose cause was a violation of forest law or was a result of negligence. This increase in the fees will help this program to meet those increasing costs of fighting the fires. The bill also allows a provision for individual landowners to make a single application to have multiple contiguous tax lots where there is a single dwelling be charged only once for their minimum lot fee. Currently, landowners can apply and have this happen, but they have to do it each and every year. With this portion of House Bill 3044, they will only need to make that application one time. Colleagues, this is a very important program for protecting our public and private lands across the state of Oregon. A large part of stewardship of our natural resources, of our forest lands, is the ability to prevent and fight fires. Fire costs are not cheap. It makes sense that we would increase these fees to adequately fund this program. There is no insurance policy available in the world to compensate for burned trees. Fire is costly, but it's less so to fight it than to lose generations of stand management. This is why this fee increase is supported by the Oregon Forest Industries Council and also by the Oregon Small Woodlands Council. You should have received floor statements on your desk from both of those organizations. This is a good bill, but it's also a very important bill. Many of you have been on the forest land tours with ODF and have seen the work that they do and understand the importance of working collaboratively with private landowners, public landowners, and the Oregon Department of Forestry to protect these lands. Colleagues, I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion. Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a critical part of our fire protection. To the bill, thank you. This is a critical part of our fire protection efforts in the state of Oregon, and it came from the Agriculture Committee, went on to revenue because of the fee increase, and I am pleased to stand here and say that this is a bill that the forestry industry needs. They have agreed with, they're working towards making sure that we have what we need to get to a fire when it starts, get it out so it doesn't continue to cause problems like the federal forests have in Southern Oregon. Great bill, should pass. Thank you.
Further discussion. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill, please.
To the bill.
I carried this bill 2 years ago, and this is one of those taxes that has wide, comprehensive support from the industry itself. They want this tax imposed on them to protect this most abundant resource that we are not taking advantage of to the degree we should be here in the state of Oregon. But to the bill, good bill, should pass. I urge your aye vote. Every chance.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Gelser, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do. It is exciting to carry a bill with a tax that those who will pay the fees strongly support. As the good representative from the South Coast indicated, this is a bill that is needed by the industry. It's needed by all of us. It's needed by those that live on forest lands. I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Colleagues, this requires 3/5 majority vote. Those of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. And those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Greenlick, how do you vote? Greenlick votes aye. House Bill 3044, having received The constitutional majority is declared passed. Representative Patty Smith, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to return to courtesies, if I may.
Representative Patty Smith requests unanimous consent for return to courtesies. Is there objection? Hearing none, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm extend courtesies to the House of the House floor to the East Orient Elementary. Are they here? The students are here. East Orient High, from Gresham. Their teacher, their group leader is Paul Guinea, and there's 82 of them supposed to be. So I want to extend courtesies to you all today, and thank you for coming.
Welcome to the Capitol. Further courtesies? Representative Patty Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to extend courtesies of the House floor to the former state representative, Jim Hill, from Washington County.
Representative Patty Smith requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and former member Jim Hill be granted the privileges of the House and floor. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Welcome. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2277, relating to maritime pilot licensing fees and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2277. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2277 increases the maximum annual maritime pilot license fee from $1,500 to $2,500. The measure further authorizes the Board of Maritime Pilots to adjust license fees each biennium from the $1,500 baseline up to the $2,500 maximum based on the Portland-Salem Consumer Price Index. The Board of Maritime Pilots, part of the Oregon Department of Transportation, regulates 63 bar and river pilots. The Board establishes license requirements for pilots, qualifies applicants, selects pilot trainees and apprentices, provides for license examinations, issues new or renewal licenses, and investigates incidents that occur while a vessel is under the guidance of a state-licensed pilot. The board is funded solely by annual license fees paid by these pilots. The current license fee no longer supports the one-person office and legal expenses of the board. The Board of Maritime Pilots' last fee increase was approved by the 1991 legislature. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means reviewed the fiscal impact, noting that the Department of Transportation initially expects the rate to be less than the maximum allowed under the law. Oregon Department of Transportation's budget anticipates this fee increase funding for administrative operations. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends House Bill 2277 be approved.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Hanna, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that House Bill 2277 should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Representative Kotek, how do you vote? Representative Kotek? Is off the floor. Representative David Edwards, how do you vote? Edwards votes aye.
Representative Thatcher. Representative Thatcher votes aye. Representative Greenlick. Representative Greenlick votes aye. House Bill 2277, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2624, relating to authority of city to request emergency declaration.
The question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2624. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You're doing a great job. House Bill 2624A is the Emergency Declaration Efficiency Act. And colleagues, if you had heard the news this morning, you'd be ready for this bill. I could not believe how many reporters were saying, get ready for another Katrina, because this last year it was kind of a little bit calmer. And so they're anticipating we're going to have a tough time coming this summer. Well, under current law, this bill is very necessary. In the event of a flood, earthquake, or other serious emergency, a city may not request an emergency declaration from the governor. Instead, these requests must come through a county government. In some cases, this has made the process of requesting an emergency declaration more difficult. For instance, in 2005, the city of Bend experienced severe flooding that closed all of the east and west routes in town. This emergency occurred on a Friday and caused serious public safety and health concerns. Yet, the city of Bend was unable to contact anyone at the local county to ask the governor for an emergency declaration. In one incident, it took several days for the county officials to call their city counterparts back. What are those county officials and commissioners doing? Well, current law suggests that counties should have a clear process to guide such requests, but as our research has demonstrated, many cities and counties have not worked closely enough to ensure that there is an efficient, effective, and well-understood protocol for a city to submit and a county to pass on an emergency request to the governor. This bill, this very thoughtful bill, attempts to resolve that issue. Regardless of where our county officials are, it directs all counties that don't currently have a clear system to work with their local colleagues to develop one. It reminds both cities and counties that they need to consider these types of incidents and the appropriate response ahead of time. This bill and its amendments were developed with cooperation from the Association of Oregon Counties, the League of Oregon Cities, the Central Oregon Cities Organization, and officials from the State Office of Emergency Management. This is a very reasonable and measured approach. Can't have management without measurement. A measured approach that will ensure that our state and local governments are prepared for the inevitable disasters that have and will continue to occur in our beautiful state. Given the needs to respond to flooding, wildfires, potential terrorist attacks, and other negative issues, this is a positive move, and one I hope all of you will support. Please vote aye on House Bill 2624A.
Further discussion, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill, I also rise in support of this bill. This is another bill that came out of our Emergency Preparedness and Ocean Policy Committee and had quite a long discussion about it, and it is a good bill, And for many of the reasons already discussed by the good representative from McMinnville, I urge your support. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Nelson, do you wish to close?
Thank you very much, Bob Hope. I just want to give credit to Representatives Burley and it is Esquivel for getting us ready. I mean, let's don't delay. And I want to express great appreciation to the chairs of our Emergency Management Committee. That's Representative Boone and Senator Verger. And they've done a fabulous job, as well as our good administrator, Jim Keller. So let's all get going, get ready, be prepared.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Representative Burley. Burley votes aye. Representative Clem. Clem votes aye. Representative Girard, for what purpose do you rise?
I've had my arm twisted, and I wish to change my vote to aye.
Representative Girard votes aye. Representative Nelson, how do you vote? Representative Nelson votes aye. House Bill 2624, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 135 relating to Occupational Therapy Licensing Board. Senate Bill 273 relating to Courts. Senate Bill 433 related to Disciplinary Action taken by Oregon State Board of Nurses. Senate Bill 676 related to Payment of Claims submitted by Physician Assistants. Senate Bill 697 related to Property Taxation. Senate Bill 707 related to Beverage Containers and declaring an emergency.
Bills read second time are passed to third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 100 relating to Oregon State Fair Account.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 100. Representative Schaffler. No. Girard.
Really resent that, Mr. Speaker.
I completely understand.
Okay. Colleagues, with my involvement in land use, I find it somewhat ironic this morning to be carrying before you Senate Bill 100. As you recall, it was originally passed by this body in the early 1970s, establishing new land use system in Oregon. But alas, this is a different Senate Bill 100 and quite a bit simpler. It is a housekeeping measure that places the Oregon State Fair account with the Parks and Recreation Department fund. The measure is non-fiscal and allows the department to streamline its accounting processes to allow tracking of fare-related revenues in a subaccount of the department's operating account. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends Senate Bill 100, Gulp, be approved.
Further discussion. Representative Schaffler.
Mr. Speaker, actually, I was flattered by your remark, not resentment, not full of resentment. But to the bill, Mr. Speaker, I have a great bill, should pass. I strongly urge your I vote. And I'm fairly confident, but I have no guarantees there will be no hit pieces on anyone who votes for Senate Bill 100, especially the good carrier. Thank you.
Representative McPherson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, some bill numbers to the bill to take on special significance due to the content in a particular session, and that may be a surprise to people at a later time when they discover that resonances that carry over from prior sessions are attached to the bill that comes forward and, in their proposal. But so it is with Senate Bill 100, probably the most famous bill number that history of this building, dating back to the 1973 session. I want to take this opportunity to thank the representative from Klamath Falls for his work about not only on this Senate Bill 100, but also his work on the issues arising out of the famous Senate Bill 100 in this session and in prior sessions. His work brought great energy and insight to that work, and it's been a pleasure to work with him on it. While we don't necessarily agree on the content of the legislation coming forward, I always know that we respect one another and the work that we each do in that effort. And that's my great opportunity to comment on that today. Thank you.
Colleagues, while you endure my time up here, I would appreciate if you not use the phrase, good bill should pass. Representative Garrard, do you wish to close?
Just briefly, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to thank the good representative from Lake Oswego for his kind words, and the feeling is mutual. Good bill should pass.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barnhart, how do you vote? Representative Holy, how do you vote? Representative Holy votes aye. Representative Boquist? Representative Boquist is off the floor. Representative Cowan, how do you vote? Aye. Cowan votes aye. Senate Bill 100, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 167, relating to real estate activity and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 167. Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 167 comes from the House Committee on Business and Labor, where it received a unanimous do-pass recommendation. Senate Bill 167 clarifies existing real estate licensing statutes and gives authority to the real estate agency to only issue real estate licenses to individuals. Current statutes use the term person instead of individual. Using the term person allows corporations and other entities to hold real estate broker and real estate management licenses when these were intended for individuals. This bill also defines who a non-licensed individual is for distinguishing who can conduct professional real estate activity or real estate management, defines expired, inactive, and lapsed licenses, and authorizes the real estate agency to adopt rules relating to inactive or suspended licensees acting on the licensee's own behalf. Colleagues, this is a good bill. I urge an aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Holvey, do you wish to close?
Not today, thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Representative Beyer votes aye. Representative Witt votes aye. Representative Patty Smith, how do you vote? Patty Smith votes aye. Senate Bill 167, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 169, relating to investigators.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 169. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Honorable colleagues, I bring you today Senate Bill 169A from your House Judiciary Committee, a unanimous vote. Prior to January the 1st, 2006, the administration and regulation of private investigators' licensing program was under the authority of a state agency, and the governor appointed the board. Both named the Oregon Board of Investigators. With the passage of House Bill 2117 during the 2005 session, both the prior agency and the board were abolished, and their combined duties, powers, and functions were transferred to the Department of Public Safety, Standards, and Training. When HB 2117 was drafted, it changed all references to the Oregon Board of Investigators collectively to the board, failing to differentiate between the prior two entities. In the language of House Bill 2117, all references to the board were changed to the department. Senate Bill 169 puts back into statute board and committee processes. These processes are essential as they are the forum by which the regulated industry has its representation in directing policy that affects the industry they work within. Senate Bill 169 sets the policy-making decisions to the Board of Public Safety, Standards, and Training, and administration and operation of duties and powers and functions to the Department of Public Safety, Standards, and Training. Senate Bill 169 also allows disqualifying events and standards for licensors to be defined by the board through the administrative rule process. It further clarifies record handling and retention processes specific to the department's required regulatory duties. Please pass Senate Bill 169A.
Fascinating. Further discussion? Seeing none, those who are, I should ask actually, Representative Wisnett, do you wish to close? Does not wish to close. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those no, the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes aye. Everyone's voted. Senate Bill 169, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Chair requests unanimous consent that Senate Bill 306 be taken from today's calendar and placed in its proper place on Wednesday, the 23rd, 2007 calendar. The carrier is excused. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 482 relating to real estate broker compensation.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 482. Representative Chris Edwards. Representative Edwards, do you wish? Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 482A comes to you from your Committee on Business and Labor, where it passed unanimously. It updates ORS 696.582, which is commonly referred to as the broker's demand to escrow for commission, by revising some of the language to conform to current business practices. The bill renames the form from a, quote, notice of demand to, quote, notice of compensation, which softens the language for buyers and sellers and creates less confusing and makes it less confusing at closing. It also changes the word commission to compensation to reflect changing business practices with non-traditional agreements such as a fixed fee agreement. Senate Bill 482A adds a provision in the statute that allows for the buyer's agents to file a notice against a seller who has agreed to pay compensation pursuant to an offer of cooperation, as well as removing the current statutory requirement that brokers notify the principal who filed the notice unless it is filed more than 10 days before the scheduled closing date. The bill also allows for the notice to be provided into escrow constructions. Senate Bill 482A recognizes the changing business patterns in the real estate industry and clarifies confusion that has arisen from these evolving business practices and statutes. There is no opposition to the bill, and it passed unanimously out of the committee.
Further discussion? Hearing none. Representative Chris Edwards, do you wish to close?
No.
Does not wish to close. Representative Esquivel, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. Speaker, I have to declare a potential conflict of interest since I am a licensed broker in the state of Oregon.
Representative Esquivel declares a potential conflict of interest, and it is so noted for the record. Those of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no, and the clerk will open the voting system. Senate Bill 42, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 563, relating to managed care plans for injured workers.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 563. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 573 comes to you from the Business and Labor Committee with a unanimous due pass. During the 2005 legislative session, colleagues, we passed Senate Bill 670. I'm sure you remember it. It was a memorable number and a memorable bill. And it was intended to clarify that managed care organizations' processes for developing treatment guidelines for injured workers. Unfortunately, the language may not have been quite what we intended. It resulted that under the rulemaking process, the Workers' Compensation Division interpreted the language to mean that require that these managed care organizations submit and receive approval for every single treatment guideline that they develop. We are talking about thousands of them. So Senate Bill 563 clearly removes the requirement for MCOs to submit all treatment guidelines for review and approval, just those with regard to injured workers. It also eliminates the Workers' Compensation Division of the administrative burden of acknowledging the receipt, filing, and revising of each MCO's certified plan each time there is a periodically reviewed treatment guideline or criteria is received. It's a cleanup from a little language, but I'm sure that this session we would have not done anything like that and won't have to clarify anything we're doing now. So I would urge your support of Senate Bill 563.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Berger, do you wish to close?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good bill should pass. Oh.
Those who are of the opinion that this bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Representative Gelzer, how do you vote? Votes aye. Senate Bill 563, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that the bills remaining on today's third reading of Senate bills be carried over to their proper place on Wednesday, May 23, 2007, third reading calendar. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Business of the House. Other business, Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. From the Speaker of the House. As in previous legislative sessions, during the first month of session, members of the House have been excused from House floor sessions upon request. However, in order to meet the June 29 sine die adjournment deadline established by Senate Concurrent Resolution No. 1, it will be necessary for critical measures to be considered on the House floor over the next several weeks. Attendance by all members of the House at daily floor sessions is essential. Therefore, effective at the end of the day, May 24th, excuses will be granted only in the case of illness or family emergency or for any floor sessions to be held on or after Tuesday, May 29th. Excuses to attend family functions filed before the close of business on the 24th will be honored. If you have questions about this policy, please contact Gene Atkins in the Speaker's office. Other announcements. Hearing none. Remonstrances. Hearing none. Representative Jensen, 10 o'clock. Pardon me. Representative Barnhart, 10 o'clock. Wednesday, May 23rd. Representative Barnhart moves that the House stand adjourned until 10 a.m. Wednesday, the 23rd of May. Without objection, we stand adjourned.